Bible, this would be a great time to find that. Thank you, Anne, for helping that come together as well. Matthew chapter 1. And as you're turning there, how many of you still have not opened presents at your house? This interrupted the flow of that. You guys get double blessing, I think, for just setting this moment aside for someone whose birthday it really is, right? And how quickly we forget that. Matthew's gospel is one of three occasions where the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ is described. And so we're going to just park there for our few minutes today. Matthew was a tax collector before he found Christ and started to follow him. You probably knew that. What do you know about tax collectors? Well, what you know may not be joyful thoughts, especially if you lived in this day. But tax collectors, probably by nature, by job description, were detailed people. They had a concern about records. And so is it any wonder that when Matthew, by the Spirit of God, records the birth of Jesus Christ, he's very concerned about the birth details, the certificate, we could say, the names of Christ. 21 times in his gospel, he talks about, and so-and-so was named. In fact, right at the beginning, you notice the first beginning of Gospel of Matthew is a genealogy, a whole list of names. I have in my hand here something that's pretty important to me. It says this, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Department of Health, Vital Records, Certification of Birth. This is my birth certificate. Date of birth given there. County of birth, Susquehanna in Pennsylvania. And my full name, James, do you know my middle name? Do you care? Douglas. James Douglas Depew. My mom and dad and siblings called me Jamie. But that's not the official. It's James. So when I sign something, it's James Depew. And my gender is there, male. And just as a sideline, I think that would solve a lot of problems if she just went with that through life. I recognize that there can be confusions, but there is no confusion on the date of birth, was there? In any case, male, signed by Charles Hardester, way back when, the state registrar, 1957 was the date that this thing first came to be in my mother and father's possession. My birth certificate. You know, birth certificates are not something that was common over past centuries. In fact, even in the 1900s, it was the beginning of times in America where birth certificates were beginning to be important. And you know now that they tie in significantly with things that happen in normal living, health issues, right? Insurance issues, marriage issues. And on it goes. And as life has gotten more connected and transparent and the government, frankly, has gotten more involved, a birth certificate becomes pretty important. And so I guard this, we guard this, we have it in our firebox in our house so that nothing could happen to it, just so that there's proof that I'm living. I guess that's what we're... But mainly it's the birth. Back when, it used to be churches that kept track often of births. The dates and so forth, baptisms and so forth. The longest name on a birth certificate, do you know what it is? You'll catch what was happening if you listen carefully. The longest name used by anyone is Adolf Blaine Charles David Earl Frederick Gerald Hubert Irvin John Kenneth Lloyd Martin. You know what's happening? This is a very weird family that was giving a name each letter in the alphabet to their child. And this guy's last name was Wolf Schlegel Steinhausen Bergerdorf Sr. Yep, there you got it. Born near Hamburg, Germany, February 29th, leap year, can you believe it? 1904. On printed forms, he uses only his eighth and second Christian name, Smart Man, and the first 35 letters of his surname. So, birth certificates. Well, Matthew, noted for keeping track. Bill.
What was his nickname?
Didn't say. Didn't say. Yeah. Matthew, noted in his gospel here for record keeping, probably, gives us in a short burst here several names, we could say, on the birth certificate of this one born that we celebrate today. In fact, he here calls Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And so we find that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, if you're following along there, Jacob, it says, begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called, there's the first of the 21 times where Matthew says, and they're called, they're named, Christ. So on Matthew's birth certificate, right from the get-go, the emphasis was on the Messiah, the one promised to Israel, the prophet, priest, and king that was coming all in one person, those combined. And we recognize and remember message back on the second Sunday of December when Pastor Brian spoke on those three titles of our Savior Jesus, called Christ, born in the earthly line of Abraham and David. And if you look at chapter 1, verse 1 of Matthew, it says this, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. And then Matthew goes on and unfolds that, starting with Abraham and goes chronologically down to David, and then from David chronologically down to Joseph and then Mary and Jesus. And so for the earthly line, his nationality of our Savior is established there with Abraham, right? He was the father of the Jews. And Abraham, through Isaac, that's pretty important because there's a billion people in this world, they're called Muslims, who believe that there is a line, but it came not through Isaac, but it came through Ishmael. This Messiah, the Anointed One, Jesus, came through Abraham, through Isaac, and on and on. And so his nationality established there through Abraham, and his royalty established through David, the king of Israel, the one, the man after God's own heart, as it says in the scripture. And so that's his earthly. But then later on in the same chapter, chapter 1, his heavenly description in his lineage is found in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ, there it is, the Messiah, was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Just in passing, how many of you who are married got engaged over the Christmas holiday? Do you remember way back then? How many of you actually became engaged over that time? Yep. How many of you wish you could? No, I guess we won't go there this morning. But here it was, engaged, betrothed to Joseph. She had had her engagement. Their engagement had been earlier. They're pledged to one another. And yet, found with child of the Holy Spirit. And so that gives us insight. The next verse goes on. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example. Don't you love that about Joseph? At a time when his whole world is rocked, we could say, finding that the one he's pledged himself to is pregnant? What would have been your response, gentlemen, knowing that you're not the father? Wow, that would have been very challenging. Not wanting to make her a public example. I love the character of Joseph here. You don't see much about this man. He's on the sidelines in a lot of ways. But boy, Jesus had a great stepfather who loved and cared for Mary. He was minded to put her away, but he was going to do it secretly, it says. But an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And so we've got this remarkable alert on the birth certificate here in Matthew's gospel that Jesus comes from a human as well as a heavenly lineage. And to think that the Holy Spirit was involved. If you were to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, the words are put into the mouth of Jesus prophetically and he says, a body you have prepared for me. And that word prepared is very specific, very technical. And God the Father knew what he was doing. And into the womb of Mary was a prepared body, not in its fullness, but in its embryonic form. I believe probably Jesus developed in a human sense in the same way, but there was the Holy Spirit connection, the pureness, the holiness of God himself that brought into being this Christ, the Messiah. So Matthew's gospel talks and emphasizes that. And there's a song that's in our songbook. Now, you're going to have to kind of multitask here this morning if you're going to keep up with this. Let's find it in our songbook, or it's going to be on the screen too, I believe. Yeah, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. And it's song number 143. Other hand ready, go back to Matthew's gospel, chapter 1. Matthew calls him Christ, and that's so important, friend. The debt of our sin is infinite in that the gap between a sinful man and a holy God is infinite. And so for us to have that infinite price, that infinite gap covered, it had to be the anointed one of God, had to be God himself and deity. Secondly, Matthew's gospel speaks of the angels naming this born one Jesus. And Matthew 1:21 says it this way, she will bring forth a son. This is the angels broadcasting from the hillside there to the shepherds. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So the angel names him the name that had been chosen in heaven's courts for this one, this born one, Jesus. And the word simply, as you know, probably means Savior, the one that delivers. And what does the Savior, Jesus, deliver from? Well, thankfully, he delivers for people. You know that verse, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Well, what does that world mean? Word world mean? It can mean several things. It can certainly mean the planet. By the way, should Christians care about the care of the planet? For sure. But let's never emphasize the planet over the people, because when they said, call him Jesus, he shall save people from their sins. World in the Bible can mean the philosophy. It's that outlook that emphasizes the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. John, in his little epistle, says, this is the world. That kind of outlook on life. It's all about appearance. It's all about appetites. It's all about autonomy. I'll do it my way. That's a philosophy of life. And the Bible talks about the world, but mainly when it talks about the world, it talks about you and me, people who are created in the image of God. Massive gap between every other creature that God created in those 6 days and man and woman. So Jesus, call him Jesus. He's coming to deliver people. And I've had little people come up to me at funerals sometime or at other tender times and ask, Pastor, do dogs go to heaven? That's a tough one to answer. And I've got a stock answer. And it kind of is a way to get out of a tight pinch. And I just say, you know what? If God thinks in heaven that you'll need that little dog, it'll be there. God can do that, right? God could resurrect a dog as much as he could resurrect you or me. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for people, not animals. The Bible says that the whole creation groans, waiting for the fulfillment of the redemption. But it's going to come when you and I are taken care of, and then God puts back what has been ruined by sin. So I know this, that Jesus, call his name Jesus, he's a Savior, he delivers people. That I do know. And he delivers from sins, the things that you and I do. And sin is so nebulous, but it's helpful to me, and I kind of think of my body like this. Sin is any thought, word, or deed. So I kind of like go right down to any thought, any word, any deed that I know from the Word of God displeases God. And my own conscience can bear testimony that what I just thought or what I just said or what I'm about ready to do is not right. That's sin, and Jesus called his name that. On the birth certificate that Matthew, by the Spirit of God, gives, he says, call him Savior, because he saves from sin. And John, a little bit later on, John 1:29, the next day, John saw Jesus. Next day, he's 30 years old now. Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Aren't you glad that he's called Jesus? On the birth certificate, he's Savior. He's the Deliverer. And some of the songs we sing at Christmas are kind of light and fluffy and airy and joyful. This song in particular has a richness of theology to it. And listen, if you will, to the way the song speaks of God's Jesus saving us. We sang the words Emmanuel. And right here in Matthew's gospel again, just another verse or two down the line, after verse 21, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Look at verse 22. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. God with us. You know, religion is man's attempt to get to God. Christianity is the fact and the promise that God came to man. He reached to us. And there are phrases in the Bible that use the word God for us. Aren't you glad that God is for us? If God be for us, what does the Bible say? Who can be against us? And so we find security in God for us. The Bible elsewhere says God in us, which is an amazing thought. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God for us, security. God in us, sanctity. He has a way of cleaning us up from the inside out. But here it's God with us. God, deity, the very creator, would come to earth and enter in the messed up creation for the sake of the creature. God, deity. And so John, in his birth announcement of Jesus, said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The first verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's why I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. Mm-mm. It's not just a God. The God is with us. The God of creation, the God of glory. God with proximity. Instead of staying far away from the mess, which is my tendency, when there's a problem in my flesh, I just say, you know what? You got yourself into it. Call me when you've figured it out. God, aren't you glad that that's not his gracious attitude? God with. He got close to, he got involved in, he got dirty, he got identified with sinners. Not as a sinner himself, but with us. He is transcendent. There is a gap of infinite length, infinite quality between us, the creature, and the creator. Even the illustration of a slug to a human is not enough to express the difference between we who are just creatures and the creator. And so for God to be with us is an amazing leap that only he could make, only he could do. God with us, and that is a mystery, that he would become one of us. And in 1 Timothy 3:16 says this, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You may hear people say, oh, are you sure that Jesus was God? There are some key places where it is so patently stated that Jesus is God himself. And here's one of them. God manifest in the flesh. And back to Matthew 1:23, Emmanuel, God with us. There's no question that Jesus is God the Son. God the Son. And so his name is Emmanuel. And there's a great song in our songbook, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel." It's got a kind of a sad, somber sound to it, but it's powerful when you remember that it's God with us. His name for him, Christ. The angels called him Jesus. I listen for the name Jesus. Do you? I hear it enough as a curse word. I love to hear it when people pray. To me, it's not enough just to say, amen. The Bible says, come to the Father in my name, Jesus, the name of Jesus, the one who saved us from our sins. I listen to that when people in public, politicians, talk about their faith. I ask myself, did I hear them say anything about Jesus? Or was it just God? There's a lot of gods out there. I listen for the name Jesus. In fact, Peter said later on, neither is there any name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved. Jesus. I love the name Emmanuel. The thought that God would descend to me and you. I love that, don't you? Wise men named him. They called him King of the Jews. The King. And here we are still in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who is born King of the Jews? So in this quick sweep of Matthew writing the letter, the gospel here, we've already heard four titles on this birth certificate of the newborn one. He's a King of the Jews. King. Worshipped by those who are wise. In fact, we hear the wise men later on. It says, and when the wise men had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. Worship, in my little mind definition, is the actions and attitudes of an adoring heart. The kind of stuff that springs out when I am awestruck and adoring someone. Worship. And they did that because he's the king. They did it as wise men. The wicked said they were going to worship. And remember the story of Herod. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem. What a scoundrel. What an insecure king. What a paranoid tyrant. Saying, if I have any competition, I'm going to snuff them out. And I don't even use drone precise strikes. I'm just going to carpet blanket Bethlehem and just destroy them. Hated by Herod. The wise men treasured him, and so they brought their treasures to show their value of this king. Herod, on the other hand, despised and felt in competition with this newborn king. Here's a song that has to do with the wise men and their approach to the King of Kings. My birth certificate has very, very little information on it, just enough to know when I came, where I came, and who I am. Matthew sure does spread it out. And Jesus' birth certificate is pretty rich. Christ, Jesus, Emmanuel, King. And later on, and this is still in Gospel of Matthew, Peter follows this Messiah, this Savior, this God with us King, and says something at a crossroads of the disciples' understanding and ours then as well. He calls him the Son of the Living God. Here it is in Matthew 16 and verse 15. Jesus said to the disciples, who do you say that I am? What is the birth certificate that you have read of me? John, James, Judas, Matthew, Peter. Peter, the quick to answer, steps right up to the plate. Says, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God, the anointed one who is the Son of God himself. And what a remarkable statement, revealed by the Father from heaven. You and I will never come to understand him as the Son of God unless we get it from the Bible. it's not natural, it's supernatural. And Peter saw through all of the questions that come, how can a virgin conceive? I can't figure that out. How can the Holy Spirit put a body within a woman? I can't figure that out. How can the sin nature be bypassed? I can't figure all that out. But I do know this, that he's the Son of God. That the very things that the God of the Old Testament did when it came to nature and when it came to disease, when it came to death, Jesus Christ was doing. And just like if you were to see my father, Paul Depew, you'd probably notice some characteristics that, oh, he's the son of Paul. When they saw, when Peter saw Jesus, they said, he's the Son of God. The stuff he says and the things he does just echo God, deity, revealed by the Father from heaven. Suddenly a voice later on in Matthew's Gospels came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I wonder if Peter was there to hear that at that baptism of Jesus. He might have been. John was, we know that. It's foundational to the church that we have the Son of God himself come to establish now, not Israel, no, the body of Christ, the church. In fact, it says in Ephesians, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, but Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, the chief foundational stone. So we'd never have a church like this. Not in talking about the building here, talking about you and me, the body of Christ. We'd never be a part of this without the Son of God coming to earth for us. And this Son of God feared at the gates of hell. Don't you love that about Jesus? He's the Lamb of God, but he's also the Lion of Judah. And there's a tremendous power that comes in that he is God himself. And so Jesus turned to Peter, who had just got done saying, we know who you are. Others say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist. Come back again. But we know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Jesus turns to that Peter and says, you are Peter, a small stone, and on this rock or a massive boulder, I will build my church. And I think if we were standing there observing this conversation, it's almost, this is how I picture it at least. You are Peter. Here's Jesus. I'm going to play the part of Jesus. Okay? You're Peter, but on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And my understanding of that word prevail means that there's a defensive posture that hell itself has to take when the church of Jesus Christ is living up to its birth certificate. Being children of God, being the sons of God now. For as many as receive this rock, to him are given the authority to be called sons of God. And when you and I are in connection with Jesus Christ and are working in the will of God, even hell itself will not be able to stand against that. What a great Savior we have. What a great birth certificate. Matthew did us a service, didn't he? So that we get a full-orbed picture. When we go from these seats in just a few minutes and go out and we chat on the way out and we go home and maybe you're going to open your Bibles together around the dinner table and just rehearse a little bit of the story. What a richness our Savior represents for us. Messiah, he's the Christ. Matthew called him that. Jesus, the Savior. Isaiah calls him Emmanuel, God with us. The wise men call him the King of the Jews. Peter calls him Son of the Living God, the Feared One. For all who will not trust him, he is to be feared. I don't know if you came today with a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but Christmas is all about God's desire for that to happen. And if you or I were to reject that Savior, not just the little swaddling clothes version, but the one who lived a perfect life, and one day, you know, it's always in vogue, it's always in season to have that cross there, isn't it? It's always in season. I sympathize a little bit with the Jehovah's Witnesses, not in their doctrine, but in the fact that the Bible never calls on us to make a big deal about the birth, and yet we do. it's certainly important, God with us, right? But it does tell us to remember his death until he comes. And so this is always in season. Every Sunday we come with a resurrected Savior. If you and I choose to reject that resurrected Savior, we ought to fear him. There's going to come a day when, I don't know how he'll do it, but it says every knee will bow to him. And I can imagine the pressure of divine wrath on the shoulders of a man who says, I can do it my way. Remember the world? That's the world's philosophy. I can do it my way. Oh, I commend to you the Savior, the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. It's another song. I don't know if we can pull this one off. This is that really classic, for unto you a child is born. Can you do it? With that, for God, say it with me, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Some of you have heard my testimony of my spiritual birth certificate. It's written right there. Where in Cortland, New York, a pastor at the end of a service said, put your name where it says, whosoever. And that became my birth certificate. And I'm holding on to that birth certificate, John 3:16, to the gates of heaven. And if Jesus were to come to the gate of heaven and say, why should I let you into heaven? I would just say this, Jesus, your word says that that God the Father sent you, that if Jamie DePue would believe on you, Jamie DePue would not perish but would have everlasting life. And I have the confidence based on the word of God and the provisions of the Son of God that whosoever will may come. And that day I came to him, and it's made all the difference in time and all the difference it will in eternity. What a birth certificate is available for you and me because of the birth and the life and the death and resurrection and the coming again of the Son of God. Let's close in rejoicing prayer. Father, we are of all people so blessed to live in a country where the message of the gospel is freely shared, where copies of the word of God are almost as prolific as seed, like the Bible says. Thank you for, in many cases, giving us parents and grandparents who have known and loved and served you and showed a path of righteousness. Thank you, Father, for so many blessings. And on this day, it doesn't happen very often, but we get to celebrate Christmas on the Lord's Day. And so we marry together the resurrection and the birth. What remarkable Savior we have. Help us to love and serve him this day and beyond well. Bring into your family by faith, by repentance, by salvation, many in the coming year if you tarry. Help us as a church to be bold, to be clear, to be looking for opportunities to share the good news of a Messiah, of a Savior, God with us, the King, the Son of God, who is coming again. We love you. Dismiss us now with joyful peace and faith in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed.